My name is Carrie, and I am an alcoholic. Always have been. I always will be. My home group is the New Horizons Group in beautiful Bend, Oregon. And I'm currently working steps 10, 11, and 12. So last week, we kind of opened with a kind of overview of the traditions, why the traditions, where did the traditions come from, all that stuff. And today, we're just going to go right into tradition one, which I did mention last week, was our only tradition we really have. Right? Because it's one of the two bookends. Tradition one is one side of the triangle. If you look at your coin or any sort of AA symbol, unity is one third of that triangle. So unity, which is tradition one, is the goal, right? And then tradition 12 is how we achieve that unity through sacrificing personal ambition for the good of the group. And 2 through 11 each offer us a specific thing to sacrifice, a specific tool, a specific thing in myself that is God-given, natural, but it's something like money, power, prestige, popularity, the need to be liked, that I have to sacrifice for the good of Alcoholics Anonymous. So with that, I did have a request this week. David, you better be in the room because there you go. Because I talk sometimes about my spiritual awakening that happened as a result of the traditions. The fact that I got to Alcoholics Anonymous and I didn't like the big book. You know, it was archaic. It was written by a bunch of old men. It was like, you know, a stockbroker and a butt doctor. Like, what do I have in common with these people? Right. And so, I used to gag, like it used to make me sick when I would hear people say that it was divinely inspired, the big book. And after, you know, failing miserably at having, as Carrie sees it, didn't work and it just got me drunk. And I finally had to fully commit, you know, to this simple program. And once I did that, and I had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps outlined in this book. My next kind of adventure was to clean up all the wreckage that I caused in AA from unapologetically disrespecting the traditions. And when it was shown to me that I can't even believe this still today, but you know, the big book was written in 1939, right? The 12 traditions weren't adopted until 1950. They were started in 19, you know, 46, 47 ish, but either way, no matter what date you want to use, the 12 traditions weren't written until 10 years after the big book was written. And you can find, and this is what's divine to me, every one of those 12 traditions in the big book of alcohol, in the first 164 pages of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So, I mean, you got to kind of know the spiritual principle that you're looking for, but they're in there and they're in there heavily. And so for me, that was a whole new spiritual awakening. So there's multiple places that I could point out tradition one in the big book. That's kind of an easy one. But for David, I'm going to point out a tradition one in the big book, and then we'll move on to some other literature. So on page 17, of course, where, and I just want to start by saying, oh my gosh, like page 17 is where all of the hope just comes rushing in, right? Because we're done with Bill's story. You had just read Bill's story. It's like this hopeless, helpless, hope to die drunk. And he is like a completely amazingly sober and recovered, you know, there's no other word for it. And so then you move on to the next chapter. There's a solution. And the very first little paragraph says, we of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill, assuming the reader just read Bill's story. And the hope is nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. I mean, if that isn't a message of hope, I don't know what is, right? And so then it goes on to talk about, we are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who ordinarily would not mix, right? But there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding, which is indescribably wonderful. We are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy, tradition too, just a little hint, pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feeling of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. Here's tradition one. There's also a lot of tradition five in here too. The feeling of having shared in a common peril, which means a common danger, right, is one element in the powerful cement which binds us, but that in itself would have never held us together as we are now joined. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to all who suffer from alcoholism. So common solution, common problem, common solution. Let's go to the 12 and 12. You know, I don't normally like using the 12 and 12 for traditions. Anybody who's heard me talk probably knows that. It's my fourth favorite out of the four places that we have the 12 traditions in Alcoholics Anonymous. But with the exception of tradition one and tradition 10, those are some amazing essays that make some great points. And so the first paragraph of tradition one in the 12 and 12 is some of my very favorite, I think some of my favorite literature in all of AA. This paragraph is beautiful. And it talks about what I just read on page 17 of the big book. It talks about the common, the unity. So the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous is the most cherished quality our society has, right? Like those passengers of the great liner, they knew that without each other, they would drown, right? They needed each other. Our lives and the lives of all to come depend squarely upon it. We stay whole or AA dies. Without unity, the heart of AA could cease to beat. Our world arteries would no longer carry the life-giving grace of God. His gift would be spent aimlessly. His gift to us would be spent aimlessly. Back again in their caves, alcoholics would reproach us and say, what a great thing AA could have been, might have been. So my highlights, and I don't care if you don't want to highlight what I have highlighted. I gave a traditions talk a couple of weeks ago, and I was sharing my highlights, and somebody said, oh, I missed that highlight. Please don't. You have your own highlights. I don't want to tell you where to highlight, but I will share with you some of mine. And if you, you know, like to, you can highlight along with me, but I'm definitely not telling you where to highlight in the book. So my highlight is the word common welfare should come first. My personal recovery depends upon AA unity, right? So the word common, which is our common problem, our common welfare, needs to come before me, needs to come before Carrie. So what does that look like? I love the illustration, the illustrated 12 traditions illustrated. I'm just going to read one small paragraph out of the first tradition, the first paragraph. And you can replace this term noisy drunk that they're using with almost anybody, right? With the sexual predator, with the, I mean, anybody you want, right? You just throw something in there and it's pretty much the same principle. So our brother, the noisy drunk, affords the simplest illustration of this tradition. If he insists on disrupting the meeting, we invite him to leave. and we bring him back when he's in better shape to hear the message. We are putting the common welfare first. But isn't it in his welfare, his best welfare too? If he's going to get sober, the group must go on functioning ready for him. And I didn't always understand this. So my first real experience, real life experience, you know, there's a difference between the book knowledge of the traditions and then the working knowledge of the traditions. And I could have recited the long form of the traditions to you by heart when I made this mistake. It's just different between, right, when you have experience that comes with it and the spiritual principle drops from the head to the heart, sometimes it just changes. It's like a whole new set of glasses, pair of glasses. So my home group, we have always met 6 days a week. It's an old group, 30 years old. When I first started sponsoring, I thought, I've always been a service geek, right? Like, service keeps you sober. Yay, service. And I thought that it would be beneficial for my newer sponsees, since we had six meetings a week, six secretaries that we needed filled, for them all to be secretaries. But they didn't have enough sobriety time to, and in Oregon, secretary means chair. So that means the person who chairs the meetings. And we kind of do it a little backward in Oregon, but the secretary is the person who kind of chairs the meetings. And so it took me, I don't know, four or five group conscience business meetings. We meet for our business meeting monthly to talk my group into moving the sobriety requirement from 6 months of sobriety down to 3 months of sobriety. And the thought behind that was, well, you know, more people could get into service sooner and that would help their sobriety. And we could get them into service and then they could stay sober, right? And the same thinking goes beyond the, so when somebody's standing for secretary, this is in the past, not anymore. When somebody stood for secretary, we usually send all of our candidates out of the room so that we can talk about them. I mean, we literally do this at my home group. We send them out of the room. So there's three candidates, let's say, or let's keep it simple for the sake of this example. There's two candidates. One of the candidates who wants to stand for secretary has 30 years sober. They've been secretary four times. They don't need the position. They're not going to drink if they have the, you know, if they don't get the position. And then the other candidate, brand new sober, and oh boy, this next 6 month position that they're going to take could keep them sober for 6 months, right? And so we would send them out, and every single time I would vote for whoever needed the position more. That's putting the individual before the group. What I didn't think of was, once we started actually utilizing these 3 month sober newcomers for secretaries, I wasn't thinking about all the other newcomers that actually needed a meeting when the secretary didn't show up, or when the secretary would lose the key, or when the secretary would show up drunk, falling off the chair, true story happened, right? Like, I wasn't considering the group first. I was just putting the welfare of the individual before the group. I wasn't considering concept 9, which talks about leadership and electing the most qualified person for the group. Regardless, if they're my sponsee, if they're a friend of mine, if I can't stand them, I look at the credentials and I have to cast my vote for the most qualified person for the group. Not who needs the position worse, because again, that's putting that person before the welfare of that person before the welfare of the group. And what about all the other newcomers who are going to need a structured meeting? And how am I going to expect somebody with 3 months sober to keep the traditions intact during the meeting, to keep, you know, I don't know, if an old timer who they really respect and look up to goes on beyond the 3 minute timer, how am I going to expect someone with 3 months of sobriety to speak up and to have that voice to say, I'm sorry, you're going to need to wrap it up? I can't expect that. And so I was putting, again, the welfare of the individual before the group. And that's where I kind of first started learning about tradition one. And I was also the member who, for 2 years, I did, well, almost 2 years. My sponsor let me go on almost 2 years before she caught me. I was also the member who, every time I was called on to share, I would share on topic. Okay. I'm very anal that way. But while I'm starting my share, you know how I say today, my name's Carrie, I'm an alcoholic, I'm working steps 10, 11, and 12. Like, you know, everybody has that kind of spiel. Well, back then, my spiel was, if you're new or nearly new, you are the most important person in the room. And then I would go on and share. And although that might have been welcoming to the newcomer, it's absolutely not true. It goes against our whole spiritual principle of tradition one. I had no idea. My sponsor finally pulled me aside, which I need to learn. She lets me learn my own lessons. I wish that she would have pulled me aside at least a year sooner, but she let me do it for long enough. And she pulled me aside and she said, "Sweetie, there is no person who's more important than another person in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's no second-class citizens. We are all equal. The person with 24 hours and the person with 24 years is equally important in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that is where our unity comes in. That's our unity. I have to put the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous before me, which was hard to learn. But then for this codependent alcoholic, it was really hard to learn that I had to put the group before you. And then I had to learn to put the group before the old timer. And yes, even before the newcomer. And that is how I can respect the unity of my home group and the unity of Alcoholics Anonymous. So with that, I will turn the floor back over to Dee.
Thank you so much, Carrie. And up next, we have concept one, final responsibility and ultimate authority for AA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. I give you Billy N. from Alpharetta, Georgia. Thank you, Billy, for being with us tonight.
Thanks, I'm Billy, I'm an alcoholic. Welcome everyone. And first, let me thank everyone for their service to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm guessing that most people here are involved in some type of service, or you're interested in learning about it, which then I even thank you more, because you're not in the largest majority in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that might be the most difficult thing to talk about tonight, that some of the things I'm going to talk about might run counter to your indoctrination. I hate that word, but indoctrination into Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, sometimes we get so carried away saying that a sponsor's only job is to take someone through the steps. And what a bad description that is of sponsorship. Because long before you start writing a four step, or if you use index cards for your amends, not for me to tell you how to do it, I would hope that someone would take the time to tell you what Alcoholics Anonymous is and what it's not. Probably the two most important questions for a newcomer: what is AA and what isn't AA? And, you know, I often talk about, you know, as Kerry talked about tradition one tonight, and talked about that they're all mentioned in the big book. Not only aren't they all mentioned in the big book, they're the most common questions newcomers have, and they don't even know there is a thing called traditions. What are the most common questions in the parking lot they ask you? Hey, do I got to believe in God? You got to believe in the same God this church believes in? Hey, what about that basket that goes around? You got to put money in? Is there a certain amount of money you got to put in? Those are the original questions. And that's why I go back to a sponsor's job of explaining what AA is and what AA isn't. Today is a perfect example. I was driving in the pouring rain at a very slow speed, getting nowhere quickly, and had to get somewhere quickly, so that didn't work. But I got a common phone call that I have received a lot the last couple of months. And that call, while I predicted it, still breaks my heart. And I'm on record, taped a bunch of times before this year's General Service Conference, where I said, I know some people are going to call me after the conference, and they're going to be very pissed off about something that happened. I have my pro-changing the preamble friends, my anti-changing the preamble friends. I have my don't change a thing in the big book friends. I have my We need a plain language, big book friends. I mean, my friends come in all varieties and my acquaintances. But I said before the pandemic, it's not going to be the cause of people complaining about what the conference did that are going to bother me. It's going to be the calls from people I know who tell me I can't believe what they did at the conference. And I did not even know they were discussing that this year. Once an AA member makes that statement, whether they're my friend or not, what they are admitting is that either they or their group or both abdicated their responsibility for the future of Alcoholics Anonymous to other people in AA. That's what that statement means. I hate to be so like black and white about it, but if you're new to AA and Dee read the concept, but if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, I just want to let you know that when we talk about concept one, we're talking about the groups. We're talking about the AA groups. And if you go to the first paragraph of concept one, it says the AA groups today hold ultimate responsibility and final authority for all world services. Those special elements of overall service activity which make it possible for our society to function as a whole. And that line says a lot because the general service structure from the district to the area to the conference and to the boards in the office is never supposed to do for the groups what they can do for themselves. That's none of their business. What they're supposed to focus on is what the groups can't do for themselves. Translating literature, answering thousands of letters. Those are things the groups can't do for themselves. But when we're talking about the AA groups, we're talking about a very small amount of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'll just use this as an example. Every meeting that you attend that is not a home group and does not have a participating GSR is not part of the general service structure. The only people who are part of the general service structure are participating groups with GSRs. It's the only way to participate. Now, you can be an AA meeting. You can be an AA convention. But I would tell you, I don't know what the biggest convention is in wherever all of you live. But I'm sure within like 100 miles, there's an AA convention once a year where everybody goes to it. And I would tell you that when you're in the hospitality room or maybe outside smoking a cigar, I would tell you my experiences, easily over 60% of the people that I run into are not participating in the general service structure of Alcoholics Anonymous, nor is their group. A lot of the people that I run into have a meeting designated as their home group. A lot. I'm not casting blame or fault. It's why I go back to a sponsor helping a newcomer realize what is AA and what's not AA is so important. We just changed from the fourth edition to the fifth edition. We just voted to create a plain language big book. We just voted to change the preamble. It doesn't matter how I feel about any of those three topics. But what breaks my heart the most is the large percentage inside Alcoholics Anonymous that basically said they don't care about those decisions. They're not interested in the future of AA. And that's why I say there's a big difference between using the AA recovery program, which is the steps in the big book, and being a member of the Society of Alcoholics in Action called Alcoholics Anonymous. Those two things are not the same. There are many people who benefit from the 12 steps. A lot of them happen to be alcoholic, but we have shared our steps with other organizations that have deal with other problems. But if I just deal with alcoholism, the steps are beneficial to alcoholics, in my experience. If you found another way, I'll take the book's ride. My hat goes off to you. But that's just one part of the triangle, one side of the triangle. And I take it with concept one that I'll just read from the second, the third paragraph on page four of the concepts. By the year 1948, our necessities had become clear enough. 10 years earlier in 1938, helped by dedicated friends, Dr. Bob and I commenced work upon a world service structure. Our first step was the creation of a trusteeship as AA as a whole. We called this the Alcoholic Foundation. Later on, I'm sure you'll hear Kerry talk about, we don't call it the Alcoholic Foundation anymore. We changed that early on because foundations take other people's money. And then it goes on to say, we thought in terms of aiding new groups to form and of the furnishing them with counsel based upon the experience of the older and already successful groups. We thought there'd be a need for a monthly magazine and also translation of our literature into other languages. So doing things that the groups can't do for themselves. And then it goes on to say a couple of paragraphs later, in 1948, there occurred an event that shook us all. Dr. Bob got really sick. Because what was Dr. Bob and Bill's job at this time? It was to be the spiritual kind of guidance to the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees took care of the day-to-day business. But when they had a question about the AA recovery program, they went to Dr. Bob and Bill W. And the conference is the permanent successors to the founder. The permanent successors to Dr. Bob and Bill W. And so what I'd like to stress in concept one for everyone to think about, imagine that Bill W. and Dr. Bob was still alive and there was no conference. And this board of trustees decided, well, maybe we want to change the big book. Or maybe we want to rewrite the preamble. Imagine Dr. Bob and Bill W. just flaked out. Didn't give them an answer. Didn't show up to the meeting they wanted their feedback on. Well, in Alcoholics Anonymous today, we have so few groups participating in general service. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I couldn't be happier about what happened at this year's conference. And it doesn't matter whether I agree with the changes or not. It's a huge wake-up call. This year's conference is to the AA group what the pandemic was to our failure to adopt technology. If your group is unhappy and had a GSR and participated, then I congratulate you. But we know that's not the case. And the other thing I just want to stress, what about all the really great AA groups that don't participate in general service, whose voice we wanted there, whose voice we count on? All those groups that have great sponsorship lineage and they instill three legacy, but yet don't have a GSR or think AA is just politics? I would even implore you and shut up on this last note. Even if you belong to the greatest first legacy only big book group in the world, if you love the big book that much, then we need you to care about the future of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that the same recovery program that's been there for the last 87 years is there for the next 87. Thank you very much. Great to be out.
Woo! If I could just, I'm not going to do it, but if I could unmute and let everybody clap, I've gotten emotional twice during that, Billy. Thanks a lot for bringing it. That's for sure. Woo! Anyway, you too, Carrie. But with that, I want to tell you guys, please send your questions to myself, Billy, Carrie, however you prefer, whichever co-host, that's fine. And we'll be happy. They're definitely well-versed in answering them and working the chat. So do you guys have any? Because I don't have any just yet. Either you or Billy. No? Okay. We'll give you guys a few minutes. So we do not raise hands and take them in verbal because we are recording. And again, for those of you that got here late, Florida is a two-way to consent to record state. So this is why we're taking them from the chat. So there will not be any exceptions. This is how we'll be taking your questions. So if you have questions on Tradition 1 or Concept 1, please send them over. Okay, I have one. Is there a way to have a decision made at the conference appealed? Oh, lovely question.
Yes. There's different opinions on how that works, but what I would suggest is the simplest. If your group does not like what happened, to send a letter in to the conference secretary that our group would like to appeal this decision. Now, if you feel really strongly about it, maybe your group brings that to your district. So then your district can send a letter to the conference secretary that says, our district would like this revisited. And maybe you take it to your area. What I would suggest is using the process before taking other actions. But yes, there is a way to appeal. The other suggestion I would have is this. I would stay away from whether you are pro the change or con the change. I would stick to that you're exercising your Concept 5 rights as per Concept 5 to appeal. And you think that maybe during a pandemic, during virtual times, it was impossible for more AA groups to be involved or know about what was going on or anything. But the thing to do is to send in a letter to the conference secretary, if that's what you feel.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Billy. I've got a couple more that have come in. Let's see here.
I see a question. I've heard that the concepts were Bill's idea of how to implement the second tradition throughout our fellowship. Do you agree? Some would say the second and ninth tradition. I think that I do agree with. We hear people say there's 36 principles. The other night I heard 42 something else's. Because they added the six warranties to the 36 principles, but those are in Concept 12. For me, I believe that the concepts are just a way to work or carry out our world service while embracing the first 24. So that's to me what they are. Thanks.
Thank you, Billy. Carrie, did you get any texts? Yeah, because I still have a few, but
Can I just say something? If somebody's telling me, I see no chapter that says concept one. So if you have a service manual, let me just welcome you and thank you for being new to service and let you know that even though we say keep it simple, sometimes we don't always do that. So your service manual is going to have two sets of numbers. In the beginning, the first part of the manual will have an S next to the numbers. In the back of the service manual, that is the 12 concepts, you will see numbers without an S. Concept one starts on page 4 without an S in the back of the book. Thank you.
Thank you. And for those of you that might not have access to this, that haven't been with us before, the link that I just posted in that information, the service manual's in there, so you can have an electronic view of that to access what Billy's talking about. So, Carrie, did you get something? Because I do have other ones in mind.
Yeah, I did, but I don't know if A, it's appropriate, or B, it's for Billy. I just forwarded it to him, and
Okay.
I don't know if
we'll let him read it. We'll let him read it then. That way he can make that call. That's perfect. And then I have another one. It says, can you tell me whose decision it was to change the preamble?
So that's a good concept question, actually. The Grapevine Board could have done it on their own. It was never conference approved before. I do applaud the Grapevine Board for deciding it was such a big change that they wanted the conference's feedback. However, the conference Grapevine Committee took no action. They decided to not change it. It was a floor action at the conference that did that. So that's how it happened. I see Carrie's question that she forwarded that someone else sent. And yeah, better I stay away from that question.
Thank you. That's why I figured behind the scenes you guys could forward it to each other. Okay. So Carrie, did you have anything else on traditions forwarded yet to you? I'll read what I have if not. Okay. Okay. Did they change the big book in any way at all?
Yes. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to let Billy. Billy would probably be able to handle this one even better than I would.
Well, let's talk about the two. We want to be very careful here. There were two distinct actions. I'll start with action one, which is the fourth edition to create a new fifth edition. So, yes, they voted to change the big book, but only the stories in the back to keep the doctor's opinion and the forwards and everything else as it is. But we'll have to carefully watch that. Number two is they voted to create a translation of the big book into what they is called plain language, easier to read language. So, yes, those two things were done.
Any other questions that you both have received? Oh, wait. Well, there's one to follow up what you just said, Billy. So will the fifth edition have a new forward is what somebody's asking.
So what I would tell people is to go back if you have a history and actions of the General Service Conference. Go back and read the advisory actions for the fourth edition. There should be a new forward to the fifth edition, just like there was a forward to the fourth edition. I think we learned because the fourth edition was not conference approved when the conference approved it. They left that up to the publishing department. And then what happened? Nobody liked what the publishing department wrote. So they changed it in 2002 and took out the wording about electronic or online meetings. But the forward there will be a new forward to the fifth edition for sure.
Thank you. I don't have any other fresh questions. I did just forward one over to you that came to me, but it didn't look like a question. It looked more like a comment. Let's see. I had seen that it was discussed to add the AA group pamphlet as an appendix in the big book. Was that passed? Somebody was asking.
It didn't even make it onto the floor.
Thank you, Carrie. Will the present big book still be published? I'm sorry.
The present big book will still be published until the fifth edition comes out.
Thank you. Now you guys go ahead. I don't have anything.
How and who will decide what plain language is? From what I read, it'll be done by professional. It'll be translated by professionals who deal in taking literature and converting it into plain language. That is a specialty all on its own. And then it'll go back to the conference literature committee next year for them to review. There's another question here. Can you give me an example when a minority report might be submitted? You know, I think a minority report can be considered submitted at any time. It should just be very well thought out. And it should be based on our principles. It shouldn't be because I'm just pissed off that I don't like what happened at the conference. It should clearly identify a tradition or a concept or a couple of each of where you think, and I want to stress this. The right of appeal is different than minority opinion. Minority opinion we have after we have every vote. The right of appeal is for grave errors. When you feel the majority has acted in grave error. So you should be able to submit it at any time. I'm very curious because I know there's been some submitted how the board is going to deal with these minority appeals. There was another question here. I have heard that direction should come from the groups, therefore down the triangle. The information should come from the delegate, therefore up the triangle. Can you please share your thoughts on this? Well, yeah, that's very true. I mean, I couldn't look at a better, simpler written description of how our structure should work. Districts and areas are not supposed to be telling groups what to do. They can share experience. They can't tell them what to do. However, the opposite, groups and districts can tell an area what to do. And area delegates voting as part of the General Service Conference can tell the board what to do. So, thank you.
The next question is for me. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Explain. Depends. I'm a huge fan of the dictionary. In fact, when my first, sponsor told me that we were going through the steps, she said we only needed two books. And I was thinking that they were going to be both AA books. And she said the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and a dictionary. So I don't like to make up definitions of words. So I would encourage everybody to look up the word depends and then replace that definition. So personal recovery depends, and if you're asking for my opinion, which I don't like to give, but upon AA unity, well, for me, I've heard it said recently at the same conference that Billy heard about the 42 ideals that unity missed that. Sorry. The chat's kind of moving around on me. Okay. So personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Explain depends. That the traditions are more important than the steps. And when that first was said, I was like, oh, blasphemy, you know? And then I started thinking about it and I started listening with an open mind to the speaker after that was said. And what I heard was true. He said, you know, the steps are super important because that's how I'm going to stay sober. And if I don't do the steps, I'm going to drink. But if we don't utilize and adhere and respect the traditions, we all drink. And so for me, I guess my mind has been changed. I mean, I can see both sides. So that's, I think, what the unity depends. You know, my personal recovery depends on AA unity because I'm, I'm nothing without you guys. Alcoholics Anonymous saved my life. And if we don't practice the traditions, then the alcoholic of tomorrow, the alcoholic not yet born, will have nowhere to go. And so I think that that's why it could be argued that the traditions might be even more important than the steps.
Thank you, Carrie. So it's not a selfish program. Somebody was asking that as well.
It's a selfless program, a less of self program, the opposite of a selfish program. Look at all of our prayers. Relieve me from, take away from me. Nothing says give me, give me, give me. So yeah, less of Carrie, more of you.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Billy, I shot you quite a few, so I'm sure you got your hands full.
Yep. I'm looking at them right now. Somebody asked me, not about concept one, but what is the saying, trust the process? So it's not a bad saying. I hope we trust the process. When it sounds bad to me is when a trusted servant uses it as a response to ask you to stop asking questions. Then I do not believe in trust the process. Then I believe in the real quote, trust but verify. And concept nine is very clear. AA leaders should be happy to get hard questions from AA members that care so much about AA, they're willing to ask a question. Another question here is, how do you feel about a delegate who votes on an agenda item in opposition to their area's recommendation? In general, I would say not good. If they were substantially unanimous, but if the delegate heard new information that they believe might have changed how their area would feel about it, then I would give the delegate the right of decision. But for the most part, the delegate's not instructed, but they should be carrying the voice and the conscience of their area. Why is it that the board can approve something without putting it on the areas to see what we all think about the change? Well, it's very clear what the boards can approve and can't approve. The preamble was never conference approved before. So I applaud the Grapevine board for putting it out to the conference and not making that change on their own. But pretty much things are pretty clear about what's the board's prerogative and what's the conference's. Sometimes the pendulum swings and the board does something it shouldn't have done, or the conference micromanages, but it should be pretty clear. Do you think the background information for agenda items should be available for everyone to access online? Of course, it's 2021. I mean, why can't everyone see the background material? And it's anonymity protected now to boot. So I don't see why this is such a big secret.
I have one.
Go ahead.
How are people chosen to present workshops, et cetera, at assemblies? I love this question because right now, currently, I am an upcoming Oregon Area Assembly 58 speaker seeker. But I will tell you that every area is autonomous. And so, for example, I've spoken in other areas, at other areas assemblies on the traditions during tradition workshops and tradition talks and tradition stuff that has to do with traditions. My area, in the entire 11 years that I've been going to area assemblies, we've only had one tradition panel. We don't study the traditions in my area. As far as the workshops go, we have concept workshops every single area assembly. We have plenty of concept workshops. And those are usually just given by past delegates. And that's just little t tradition, I think, like a custom of our area. And I think that that's a good idea. I like the fact that our past delegates present on the concepts because they have the most experience with the concepts. But most of the time you got a speaker seeker. And so for example, my district is hosting an upcoming assembly. And I was asked to be the speaker seeker on that. And I said, absolutely. And whether, you know, the area has voted on it or not, because I'm the speaker seeker and I have the right of participation, what's probably going to happen is at that area assembly, the area assembly is going to get a tradition speaker. And it's probably going to be from out of the area. And it's probably going to be a really strong tradition speaker.
I knew that question was for you. Okay. And Billy, I've sent you a couple more too. I didn't.
Yep. Somebody wrote here, what are some of the other examples that GSO does that groups cannot do for themselves? If you go on the GSO website, there is a service piece about the seventh tradition that spells out all the services GSO provides. So it's so numerous. Loners International, group services, archives, collecting our history. But if you go on AA.org, search seventh tradition, and there is a 1 8x11 two-sided PDF that shows where all your money from the seventh tradition is used. Is plain language gender neutral? I don't know. Where do I read the advisory actions from the conference? You could ask your delegate for a list of this year's advisory actions, or you could get the report of the General Service Conference, which is available electronically too and anonymity protected. I think we could tell you that by next week, we could have this year's in this Google folder so that you have this year's advisory actions. Any other questions we have?
You've got one too, but let me just state what Billy just said. I'll make sure that that's in tonight. Actually, it's in our concepts file, which is perfect. You have a list of the advisory actions also, I think, you know, like we have a bunch of the past ones too. So, yep. Keep an eye on the folder, guys. Go ahead, Carrie.
So there's two. This one's really quick, and then I'll get to a different one. Long form individual welfare follows closely afterward. Does this mean that I put the welfare of my group first and I put myself second? You know, one thing that Tradition One says, which is, again, why I love the essay on Tradition One in the 12 and 12, is because it emphasizes the fact that there's no fellowship on earth that lavishes, I think the word is that they use, more rights to its individual members, more individual rights to talk, behave, do whatever they want, right? And thank God, because when I got here, all I cared about was my rights, you know? And when I went around unapologetically breaking all of the traditions, I pretty much put my middle finger up at you, not pretty much, but I actually made a meme before memes were even a thing, because I was called out on Facebook so much for breaking my anonymity. And I wrote in the meme with a picture of a middle finger. God forgive me. There's middle finger. And then it said, oh, I broke your 11th tradition. Sorry, protected by tradition 3, with the middle finger up. And this is, you know, who I was coming in, and I didn't care about my responsibilities. I cared about my rights. And so no fellowship on earth lavishes more rights, more individual rights, right? However, once you go through that, the 12 steps, and you have that spiritual awakening, all of a sudden, and this is just for me, I'll speak from my own experience, I could see past my own nose. And all of a sudden, my rights as an AA member meant very little compared to my responsibilities as an AA member. And all of a sudden, I wanted to start putting the welfare of AA first. I wanted to start respecting the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I wanted to start speaking up when I would much rather run the other way and cry. I wanted to start being a servant. And to get right sized. And so that leads me to the next question, which is the one I just love. This question, it says, how does an AA member balance being an AA leader and being a member of a fellowship of equals? For me, it's through the home group. That is my most important title in Alcoholics Anonymous, is AA member. No matter what, that is at the top of the triangle. And if I can have all the service positions in the district and area, whatever that I want to title myself with, means nothing compared to my service position at my home group, which I will never go without. No matter how much I do outside of my home group, I will always have a service commitment at my home group that keeps me right size, even if it's coffee maker. And that is my first commitment. I'm there a half hour early. David's in the room. Lots of Pete's in the room. Lots of my home group members are here, and they will tell you when they log on, they're going to see Carrie, right? And who's going to be the last to log off? It's going to be Carrie. And that's how it is in the room too, before we came to Zoom. It's like, I'm there first and I'm there last, and I have my hand out to the person walking in the door, and it's my job to welcome them to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's my job to stay after and answer any questions from the newcomers. And that is what keeps me right sized. And when I'm asked to speak, and this is one that I've been on a rant lately, when I'm asked to speak, I don't care how big the conference is. If I have a home group commitment, my answer is no, I'm sorry, but my home group is meeting at that time. I don't put anything above my commitment to my home group, no matter how big and special I think that the invite might be. Thanks.
You got more, Billy?
Yep, couple. I want to go slow again about the big book at this year's conference, so that people do not take inaccurate information. There were two advisory actions. One was to create a fifth edition big book. That is just the current 164 that exists today. To keep some new of the old stories and to put some new stories in it. That has nothing to do with plain language. It has nothing to do with anything except our big book with new stories. The second item was to translate the fifth edition or the current fourth edition into plain language. They are two separate items. Someone wrote, in 1986, the conference approved the Grapevine as the international journal. The preamble was part of the Grapevine then. Does this mean all groups must approve the change? Well, I'm going to take that in a couple of different parts. Number one, just because the conference said the idea of the Grapevine as our international journal is the conference approved, does not mean that everything inside the Grapevine is conference approved. It does not mean every article, every published is conference approved. And I say that saying, thank God, because there are some crazy articles that have been published. The preamble just happened to be copyrighted by the Grapevine. So it was not conference approved. The board decided to ask the conference because it seemed like a major question of policy. And it says, does this mean that all groups must approve the change? Well, all groups did approve the change this year. That's what the General Service Conference means. If those delegates voted to approve it, then that is approval by the AA groups. If you're referring to the 75% rule of getting 75% of the group's permission, individual groups, not through their delegate, that only applies to a couple of specific things. The traditions, the steps, the concepts, Article 12 of the conference charter. Now I predict, this is my prediction, we are gonna see an item to ask to have the 164 pages protected by the conference charter so that those two would require 75% of all. I believe that based on what I'm hearing now, and what happened at this year's conference, that there is a sizable group of people in AA who don't want the conference to be able to change the 164, but we shall see if that gets put on the agenda. Since we are on this topic, do we have an answer yet that's clear if the 93 delegates are going to get to approve the draft? No, we don't have an answer. I'm not going to speculate. I'm going to stay with what's in writing. A draft is going to go back to next year's conference committee. we should have all our eyes on what year, next year's conference committee does and where that draft goes. Does it go to the floor of the conference? Does it go back to AAWS? Don't believe what I say. Don't believe what your trustee says. Don't believe what a staff member says. It's all opinion. All opinion. The advisory action says it's going back to the conference literature committee to have a draft reviewed. For everybody in AA, it's what happens from that moment on after they review it that we should all be taking a look at. And I think the same thing is going to happen for the changes to the service manual or the concepts, concept 11. So we have to just keep an eye and wait and see what happens. I think that's the last question, if I'm not mistaken.
I have one more, but Dee, I don't know. I think it's time to wrap it up.
Sorry, I was sending more. It's up to you guys. If you, again, want to finish the questions, we can.
5 minutes. We'll do the questions we have.
Okay.
Okay, I'll go quick with this one. How do you feel, which is always a scary beginning to a question, about groups who refuse to read the new preamble? I'm not going to tell you how I feel about those groups because those groups have a right to be wrong. And I respect their right to be wrong. But I will share with you my own group's experience, which my group was, I'll just be honest, adamantly against the changes. We didn't have a single person who was even a minority in the fact that we were adamantly against the changes of the preamble. However, our group believes strongly in tradition one, and our group believes strongly in tradition two, which says that God expresses himself through the group conscience of the United States and Canada. And what God says goes. And so if my group looks at the changes that were made at the conference through an informed group conscience and says, hey, listen, God, we know what you're saying, but we know better than you, then that's called arrogance. And so we're going to go with whatever the conference decides, even if we don't like it, even if that means we closed the meeting by licking each other's faces. We have a right to appeal, but we don't have a right to go against God. Thanks.
I will take a question of explaining what the conference charter is and deal with that next week because we talked about it last week. I will answer quickly, if the Grapevine Committee didn't approve the preamble, why was a floor action allowed? Any delegate is allowed, any voting member of the conference is allowed to make a floor action. Somebody can make a motion not to hear it. That motion failed, so the floor action went forward. Somebody wrote, I think it's important to point out the Big Book is revised on average once every 15 to 17 years. Using that math, the Big Book is due for revision. That's what's happening. I would tell you that's not true. I just want to be historically accurate. The second edition was printed in 1976. The next edition didn't come out until 2001. That was the third edition. The second edition came out in the early 50s, and the third edition didn't come until 1976. So it's really been like 25 years, 24 years in between. I'm not arguing with you. I just want to make sure whoever wrote this is clear that I don't know where this 15 to 17 is coming from. But if you take the dates of the books published, that is not true. And I want to point out the Big Book has never been revised. There's been some minor changes to the first 164. But there's never been a revision like plain language ever before in the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a lot of history out there about when we do a revision, it's to update the stories and to leave the 164 alone. So that's it. I'll start with the conference charter next week.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, both of you. And again, everybody, before you leave, if you don't have the link out of the chat or you don't know how to work it, I don't want to assume because we've all been doing this for quite some time that everybody else does know how. If you don't know how to pull the link out of the chat, please email me. I'll be happy to forward it to you in an email. I want you to have everything and anything you need to be able to fill your role in service or think about serving. And my email is d@thethreeleggroup.com. That's the easiest one right now to remember. So d@thethreeleggroup.com.